The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Who says, good morning, everyone. Good to have you along on this Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. I am Peter Christian. Mr. Nick Christensen right over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we are always privileged to have with us our, what we like to call our resident CPA, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Walt, always a pleasure to have you in the studio, sir.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here. Nice day, except for the smoke.
And yeah.
We don't let smoke get in our eyes.
No,
right?
We don't. There's a song in there somewhere.
Yes, there is.
All right. So you, sir, we love having you here. You're on for the full 2 hours. But this first segment is yours because it's tax time.
Yeah, it's classroom for the boys and girls
right.
out there.
Or you got it.
Girls and boys. Okay. Anyway, yeah. And we want to talk about one of the least favorite subjects when it comes to income tax, and that's paying it.
Okay. Yeah.
and so there's two ways of paying. Now, we're all familiar with withholding, and that kind of follows into Chris Rock's take on taxes. He says, you know, we don't pay taxes, they take it. And so that's in reference to withholding, because you get a paycheck and they take money out of it. And that money, that taking is Chris Rock's, his perception on taxes. But we're going to talk about the situations where you have income that doesn't have withholding. And you're very familiar with that, Peter.
I am indeed. Yes, sir.
Being with your self-employment income. So there's other examples of that type of income where there's no withholding. Gig income, which is, you know, got to be up to date here.
Right.
Rental income, interest, dividends, capital gains. And then there's other types of income from time to time that don't have withholding, or there's not enough withholding. For example, Social Security. If you're getting Social Security, depending upon your facts and circumstances, up to 85% of that will be included in your quote-unquote taxable income. So you get to pay tax on that, too. Social Security does allow you to withhold, and you can, you know, withhold federal tax. They don't do Montana tax, which is too bad, but that's the way it goes. Now, the question is how do we calculate estimated taxes? And so as a tax preparer, and the software we use kind of goes by with what the IRS allows for what they call a safe harbor. A safe harbor is something that, you know, you can go into that harbor and they're not going to penalize you
right.
for being there. And so, but the safe harbor is the default, and the most one commonly used is you pay 100% of your prior year tax, unless you're one of the wealthy, and then you got to pay 110% of your prior year tax in estimated tax payments. The alternative, and this is where estimated taxes get really wild and crazy, is either that or 90% of your current year tax. Well, nobody knows what their current year tax is until they do their return. So anyway, so how do we calculate this safe harbor amount? Well, it's pretty easy to go back to your prior year return and take a look at that and figure that out. And then we can either determine, depending upon our income level, whether we need 100% or 110%. And we can take a respite for the time being and take an obscene profit break, right?
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue this primer, if you will, on taxes. And we really appreciate Walt working so hard to prepare this because it's a necessary introduction to what we're going to be talking about by taking calls. So
yes.
Anyway, we're going to come right back. 406-721-1290 is our number. We'll be the number to call when we do start taking calls. Walt Kiro in the studio here on TalkBack.
Thank you.
just cream.
Dennis Bragg updating your weather. Patchy smoke again Wednesday, lifting through the afternoon with highs in the upper 80s. Not quite as cold going into Thursday morning, although most locations will still be down into the 40s. Thursday starts with smoke, but sun hitting a little harder with highs back into the 90s. And then for Friday through Sunday, highs in the mid to upper 90s, with smoke expected to clear. A passing cold front could bring some winds and cooling for the weekend, but for right now at least, looks like it'll be sunny and hot right through the weekend.
We are back on Talk Back. And of course, Walt Kiro, our special guest here, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And with tax time continues, Walt. So
okay.
Please go ahead.
Moving right along. And in case you forgot, we're talking about estimated taxes.
Right.
And I got how to calculate a safe harbor amount. And so I'll go through an example here, but you take what your safe harbor amount is, and if you estimate what your withholding was, again, reverting back to your prior year withholding, subtract from that, and you'll get an amount. And I'll go through a sample here. Let's say your prior year tax was $12,000.
Right.
And your prior year withholding that you expect to be the same, although there's a caveat there, is $8,000. So. All right. You subtract 8 from 12 and you say, well, I'm going to owe, this is what I estimate to owe, $4,000. Right. Well, that's simple. Divide 4,000 by 4 because that's the quarterly payment is $1,000. Now, the thing that catches people, and you were a victim of this, Peter, a couple of years ago, because Montana changed the withholding tables and they overprojected the benefits of the reduced tax rates. And so you ended up in an unfortunate situation of owing the state a bunch of money at the end of the year.
Right.
Because of that faux pas, for lack of a better description, by the Department of Revenue on their withholding tables. But nevertheless, that's how the default, the simple system of estimated taxes works. If you, in that example, if you were required because of your income, let's multiply all these numbers by 10.
Okay.
And so then you're caught up in the 110%. So with a prior year tax of $120,000 and your expected withholding of $80,000, so you need to make estimates of $40,000. But then we multiply that by 110. So you need, because of your income level, you need to make estimates of $11,000 or $44,000. So, I mean, you can just see how quickly this becomes a monster.
Yes.
Now, if you expect your income to go down next year, you can cut back on your estimates. But again, this is a crapshoot because you don't know how you're going to end up. But when you get your tax return done, if your estimates, assuming you made payments over all four quarters of 90% of your current year tax. So if your current year tax goes down by instead of $12,000, it's $6,000. And if you have $8,000 withholding, you're covered. You don't need to make estimates. So, you know, it's that's the reason they're called estimates, is right. Because you don't know. And so you got to forecast both your income and your tax and your withholding. So you think that's bad.
Go ahead.
There are other safe harbors besides the default system. And I do this on occasion where somebody has a big windfall of income. And let's say that windfall happens in October, November, December of the year. Well, they have what they call adjusted seasonal income. And so you calculate what your taxable income is for the first 3 months, the first 5 months, the first 8 months, and then for the year. And we plug those numbers in. A lot of times I can make a penalty, you know, the underpayment of estimated right. tax penalty disappear
wow.
by using the adjusted seasonal income thing. And you think this is bad. It even gets worse for corporations. Those evil corporations have the same rules, only they're more strict. And, you know, there's no say, there's fewer safe harbors. and you get to pay more, your estimates have to be made. Now, since 1986, most corporations now are subchapter S. And so for small business, the income and deductions and credits pass through to your personal return. So the corporation isn't paying the tax, but a lot of publicly traded corporations, and there are some taxable, what we call C corporations around, in small business, they have to make estimated payments, both federal and state. So they have another set of rules, and it gets very, very complicated, but the penalties can be severe. Right. They're estimated tax penalties. So you want to avoid them, but it's a very complex system to comply with. I wish it was easier, but that's just the way it is.
And the onus is on the individual taxpayer to keep track of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not going to send you a letter and saying, by the way, you owe this, so please get on it. If you don't pay it, they come after you.
Yeah, we could all just join the socialism train and then just everything you make, you just send to the government. You don't have to worry about it.
I don't think that's going to be a very popular.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. It kind of takes the fun out of doing things.
You bet. Well, by the way, when we do open the phones, open the phone lines, if you have a tax question, Walt is going to be here to answer that. But we still have a little more tax time.
A little more tax time.
A minute and a half here.
The thing is that people, you need to do this if you have a lot of outside income that doesn't have withholding. And as I discussed, you have interest and dividends and capital gains. And so if you worked hard and you built up a nest egg and you saved wisely, and you have that kind of income, you've got to cover it. And like I said, what I do personally is I take my required minimum distribution because I'm of that vintage. I have most of my minimum distribution taken out through withholding. And there's some benefits to that. It makes your pull out of retirement income kind of look sad because you're giving it to the government. But when I do that in September, October, I don't need to make estimated payments. And so when I don't need to make estimated payments, it's covered by my withholding from my retirement.
We're going to come right back. And Walt Kuro joining us here in the studio this morning, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. We're going to come right back with more of Talk Back right after this quick timeout on statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
It's
being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
We are back on Talk Back for this Wednesday, August 5th. Peter Christian here. We have our good friend Walt Curo, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and tax time is still rolling on, sir.
Oh, yeah. A few other things to make and talk about estimated tax payments. You know, over the course of my 55 decades plus of doing taxes, you get to see a lot of things. And, you know, when we prepare a return, we'll give, like you, estimated tax payments after we prepare your return. And when we do that, that's based upon, most of the times, based on this default, unless we're aware of, say, like, oh, you sold a piece of property in the year prior, you're not going to have that again. So we typically adjust for that. Well, some people forget to make the estimates, and they're due in April, June, September, and January. And, it's just unfortunate, but it happens. And so you get dinged for that because I can't imagine the computer program that calculates the underpayment for estimated tax because it takes into account when the payments are made. And so if you make a payment late or if you forget it, ding, ding, and so you're just kind of stuck.
Now let me ask you something. If you do, say, forget your estimated payment, is there somebody from the IRS to ring you up or drop a line and say, hey, you didn't make your estimated payment, or is that all on you?
It's all on you, and you find out about it when you prepare your return.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Surprise!
So, yeah. Surprise! And I've seen, accidents happen. People will make their federal checkout and stick it in the state voucher and the state envelope, and then they'll make the state payment, and they'll send it with the federal. Well, the last time I checked, those governments don't do a very good job with that. They just deposit the money and run. So then things really get fouled up when you go. And we don't know that. See, we don't know that when we prepare the return. But, boy, the government knows. And so after they process your return, they say, hey, you got this payment for $2,000 here, and you said it was $10,000. Oh, really? What happened? And then you go find out that, unfortunately, the taxpayer forgot and put the wrong check in the wrong envelope, and away we went.
Now, that's usually an anomaly, right?
But yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but it has.
Yeah. So what does the IRS do? Does it come knocking on the door and say, by the way?
they send you some hate mail,
okay,
and they said, we hate you. We want more money. That's what it boils down to. And then, in a typical situation, client gets a hold of me, what happened? And then we go play Chief Inspector Clouseau and figure it out. And so it's unfortunate, but those things are made.
And when that happens, not only do you have to pay the tax, but there's a penalty involved too, right, for being late?
That's what the effect is. You get penalized because you didn't make enough in estimated payments. And that penalty runs, through the calculations, and you're just, stuck. What is it? It's about 6-7% based upon the time frame that's involved. So, like, if you missed your September payment, then they'll calculate the underpaid tax at September going through to the time you file your return. So there is some good news because you can request waivers of the penalties, and
as long as it's not a chronic problem.
Yeah, the last obscene profit break talked about mulligans.
Right.
Well, believe it or not, and Nick, you'll appreciate this, there are mulligans in estimated taxes, and what it is. If you've had a good, clean record that you paid your taxes, filed on time, and haven't missed estimates in the past, if you've got a 3-year or longer clear record, they will abate that penalty. So
That's nice.
Anyway, that's good to know. And that only applies to penalties from underpayment of estimated taxes. It also applies to late paying and late filing. They really sock it to you if you file late. But if you've been a good girl, a good boy, and have a clean record, you can get those penalties abated. So I liken that to a mulligan.
Now, is that something that you have to ask for? Or they're not just going to offer it to you, right?
In the past, it was something you did the mea culpa. You wrote and requested abatement. But now, just within the past few months, the IRS is going to automatically take that into account. So you won't have to go through that process of doing the mea culpa. So we'll see how that works. I mean, I have high hopes that will be a work in play. So anyway, the taxpayers will know soon.
You bet. And since, Walt Carroll joining us here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, he's here with us a couple times a month, and he is our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So, well, we're up coming up against a break, and
tax class is over.
All right. So the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Walt, give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And ready to answer your tax questions. They're already starting to come in. So we'll be back right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
If you're a local attorney.
Dennis Bragg updating your weather. Patchy smoke again Wednesday, lifting through the afternoon with highs in the upper 80s. Not quite as cold going into Thursday morning, although most locations will still be down into the 40s. Thursday starts with smoke, but sun hitting a little harder with highs back into the 90s. And then for Friday through Sunday, highs in the mid to upper 90s, with smoke expected to clear. A passing cold front could bring some winds and cooling for the weekend, but for right now at least, looks like it'll be sunny and hot right through the weekend.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Small businesses are the heart of America. Like you, these entrepreneurs started out with a dream and the drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea to grow or challenge to face, you don't have to go it alone. Since 1964, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. Today, they are the nation's largest nonprofit source of expert mentoring, resources, and education. Whether you're starting out, building back, or have worked at it for years, SCORE will match you with specialized mentors. Our thousands of volunteers provide the guidance and connections you need for free. Your success is waiting. SCORE is ready to help. Find a mentor today at score.org.
On America's darkest day, 9/11, our nation vowed to never forget. Let's keep that promise through education, remembrance, and honoring America's heroes and the families they leave behind. Head to T2T.org to learn more.
Hey, Hey, it's the Wednesday, August 5th edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. And Walt Caro is joining us here in the studio this morning, our resident CPA. And we've got Skip on the line with a question or a comment. Good morning, Skip.
Hi, Skip.
Oh, good morning, sir. Thanks for coming on. As you were talking, I had two specific questions. One was, you referred to Peter and a problem that he had, and it turned out to be the Department of Revenue. So when that happens, do they give you any longer time to make that payment you didn't expect, or do they ease off on the interest and penalties when that happens? But my most important question, sir, was, with this upcoming session, the legislative session, I know you watch closely any legislation that has to do with taxes. Would you explain to us what is this, what they want to do, what's called a flat tax, and give us some cliff notes and the PowerPoints about what that is versus the system that we already have right now, so that we can be ready for it and understand the differences. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, Skip. Well, Skip, I'm going to let Peter answer the first question because it was his thing. So I know I'll supplement it if it's needed.
No, but, go ahead, please.
Well, okay, if you don't mind. It's just that, Peter wasn't alone. There were hundreds, probably thousands of Montana taxpayers that got caught up in this. I think it was 3 years ago, the legislature changed the tax. Instead of being an 11% max rate, it dropped it down to like 5.9. And when they did that, they changed the withholding tables. They said, hey, we gave the taxpayers a pretty big tax rate or tax cut here, so let's incorporate that into the withholding tables. Well, they overestimated on that. And so what happened is the taxpayers, without knowing it,
underpaid.
You just got higher pay, right? And so you pay yourself or you pay the government. And so when it comes time to do your tax return, that's when you go, oh, crap. Because, you know, in the case, let's just say, for example, it was $1,000. Well, if you have to come up with $1,000 all of a sudden, you don't realize it until the end of March or first week or two of April. If you don't have the funds available, it's really unfortunate. And so it wasn't by design, it was by accident. And the Department of Revenue, as far as I know, gave a lot of people a lot of
leeway.
Grace, yeah. With that, because they realized they'd made a significant error. Now they corrected that in the following year, because they put the withholding tables back to somewhat more of a reasonable rate. So anyway, that's question one. Question number two, the flat tax. Yeah, I'm a member of the Montana Society of CPAs, and I've been on a committee as long as I've been practicing. So over 50 years I've been on the state tax committee. And so I've watched all of this stuff evolve. And right now, the discussion on the flat tax is right now we have two tax rates. One's 4.7% and the other one's 5.9% for individuals. And so from a simplification standpoint, going to a flat tax is not going to – it's like a bug on a windshield of complexity. So it's just not that big of a deal. The idea of a flat tax has notoriety to it. They think it's God's gift to not creation, but maybe to the sheep of the world.
Is it politically popular?
Well, it's in some realms. From my perspective, it doesn't make a lot of difference. But from the political perspective, there's some benefits to selling it because it's simplified. But in terms of that, from my perspective as a preparer and working out of the trenches, it's not that big a deal. But from a political standpoint, you might get a couple of attaboys or attagirls if they passed to a flat tax. But to the taxpayers, and this is my perspective, to the taxpayers, the most important thing is what comes out of your pocket.
You bet.
We'll be back.
We're coming right back. By the way, the phone lines are open now. So if you have a tax question for Walt Kiro, that is why he is here, sharing his over 50 years of tax experience with you. You got a question about your return or maybe what you're anticipating or maybe you didn't get the refund or whatever it might be, give us a call, 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. As Talk Back continues on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Welcome back to Talk Back. And Walt Kiro joining us this morning from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Phone lines are open if you have a tax question at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. But you always are very, very well prepared with your stack of stuff, Walt.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go to tax news.
Okay.
In other words, things that have just happened in the past couple of weeks. The IRS has given us some program results for the whistleblowers. And on July 28th, the IRS said its whistleblower program has helped recover more than $8 billion since 2007. So good job, whistleblowers. There's probably more out there that could be had, but at least, you know, that's towards the right way instead of the other fraud.
How does that work, being a whistleblower? I mean, most of us are so concentrated on our own stuff, you know, that we don't really, you know, look too much at what's going on around us. But when you see something egregious, some just pick up the phone, call the IRS. How does that work?
Yeah, the best way to do there's no best way of doing it.
Yeah.
There is a form, I believe the IRS has. I haven't filled one out, but I've seen it a few years ago because there was a situation that I was involved with that I thought, well, maybe this could apply, the whistleblower program. And there's a form you file, and there's a special division within the IRS. And, you know, there's just certain criteria. And so if it's a small matter, the IRS won't even look at it. So if there's income above, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, then they start getting with the program. And so, a lot of times it's on unreported income that the IRS doesn't get information on, through their reporting programs, you know, like 1099s and W-2s. So, and where does that happen? Well, obviously, illegal drug activity, illegal activities, those sorts of things. I have talked with a law firm in Washington, D.C. that specialized in that kind of stuff. And they said, well, your situation, yeah, it's probably not big enough, not, you know. And so I just dropped any pursuit of that particular issue. So anyway, that's
okay.
The news. There is a new crypto. If you're into crypto, there's a tax scam warning. There's a fake IRS compliance portal.
Oh, my God.
In other words, so, you know, if you're involved with crypto, there's certain reporting that gets done on your activity. And so, obviously, some people, maybe even using AI, are using it to scam people that are investing in crypto. So beware. If you're messing with crypto, Bitcoin or, Ethereum or whatever it happens to be. Just be careful. There's a special scam going on out there just directed at you.
And one thing, you know, we talked about this before. We'd love to have some calls, by the way, for Walt, 406-721-1290. But some friends of mine, elderly friends of mine, were taken advantage of by some fraudsters. And we were able to get together with the IRS and some of the other, with Austin Knutson. I called Austin, and he was very helpful in getting us in touch with the various people who could help these folks. And it turned out they got them, and all the money was returned, and it worked out well. But it was absolutely heartbreaking going through this whole process when people are being cheated like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but people out there are developing schemes all the time. And, we had a good result from your little story. But think of all the ones that don't turn out good.
Right.
I've had some clients that have been scammed and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to scams. And, boy, you want to talk about buyer beware. Boy, was that... Those are words of wisdom to live by. So, just be careful. If you don't understand something, just don't do it.
Yeah,
that's the best recommendation I can give.
And unfortunately, once that money's gone, it's very, very difficult to investigate and try to claw it back somehow.
Oh, yeah, it's very difficult. Sometimes it's impossible, especially, some of the recent scams ask you to pay them or give them money with gift cards.
Right.
And with things that aren't traceable, including crypto, because crypto is in some cases is not traceable who it goes to. And it's just unfortunate. But
and it's cruel.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an elderly person that's being scammed. I mean, that's heartbreaking when you hear stuff like that.
But if you're a perpetrator and you're working online, you don't know those people. It doesn't matter to you. You just want the money. And hopefully there's a place reserved in our afterlife for folks that do that stuff.
Yeah, I hear that.
Anyway, it's,
got about a minute and a half before the break.
Okay, more news. The Senate is taking up some tax legislation. And so the Senate Finance Committee has advanced a bill that one of my trade associations I work with is supporting. So I think there's some good aspects in that legislation. So hopefully it's going to the full Senate floor. Potential bad news coming down the road is the beneficial ownership reporting.
Okay.
Is they're getting closer to coming up with a final form on how that's going to be, but there's millions of small businesses out there that are going to have to get caught up in this. So hopefully we'll have some, clarity and simplification with that.
We would absolutely love to get some calls from our wonderful listeners. If you have a tax question, maybe you have a relative or a friend who's been going through some problems, and Walt might be able to offer some good advice to you. Give us a call. 406-721-1290 is our number, or 1-800-568-5309. And of course, Walt Kuro, our resident CPA, is here in the studio with us from Elevated Tax and Accounting, sharing, as I mentioned before, is well over 50 years now of tax preparation experience right here a couple times a month on our Talkback show. We appreciate that. We're going to come right back, hopefully, with your calls right after this.
In a world of
We are back on TalkBack, and of course, Walt Kuro, a resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting, here offering tax advice to those who are calling, and we've got Rick from Stevensville standing by. Rick, good morning.
Morning, Rick.
Hi, Walt. You're one of my favorite guests on the KGVO here.
Well, that's good news. I hate being sworn at.
Well, I swear you're a good guy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Faith, my daughter is about ready to close on a house that is way too expensive anyway, but I am gifting her $100,000 to make this kind of down payment, avoid the P&I and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is there some kind, I guess I didn't realize it before, but is there some kind of tax, IRS tax, that's going to come up down the road here for her this next year?
Not for her. And the only impacts on, if you give your daughter $100,000 as a gift, the only potential ramifications is to you. And the reason why is because they have in our tax system the income tax, of which we're always talking about. But there's also what they call a transfer tax, which is a state and gift tax. And so when you transfer assets, i.e., you know, writing your daughter a check for $100,000, that's a gift. And any gift above $19,000 from one person to one recipient is considered a taxable gift. But what should happen is you report that on a gift tax return. There is nothing you would have to pay out of pocket because you're given up to, like, I think it's $2 million of gifting over your lifetime before you start having to pay the estate and gift tax. So you just have a reporting function there. For the daughter, because she receives the gift, there's no tax consequence to that. Now, if you gave her, an interest in a piece of property, again, there's no tax event to her. And it's just whatever she earns in terms of income from that gift that she has to worry about taxes. But in this case, a down payment on a house, not going to be anywhere. Now, one more thing to add. Oh. Well, there's probably several things, but one more thing. Rick, are you married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that mean I get $4 million?
No. No, it means instead of $19,000 per year, you and your wife do what we call gift splitting. And the gift splitting allows you to transfer $38,000 a year. So in terms of how it goes on the gift tax form, only $62,000 of the $100,000 would be, quote-unquote, a taxable gift. But you remember, you got a $2 million deduction, and so that $68,000 just comes out of that $2 million. But there are people out there who give big, big amounts to families and family members, and they can have taxable gifts. Not very many, but it does happen. So, you know, good for you to have the ability to give your daughter the $100,000, and good for her for picking the right dad.
Yeah, well, we all know that. But along that same lines, my wife and I, you know, we're getting up there in age, and who knows what's going to happen. So we've kind of put all our assets and code names and passwords and everything in a folder. And we're getting ready to talk to a lawyer about avoiding probate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Can you give any advice on that?
Well, to the extent I can, let's call it tax advice, because if I give you legal advice, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get in trouble.
No. Tax advice is great. I don't want to give too much to the federal government.
We only got about a minute and a half, so quick.
Okay, minute and a half. Well, when I put together my will, I addressed those kinds of things, and I visited with an attorney, and we also incorporated a living revocable trust. And that's a whole nother ball game, and I have some tax attorneys that would be much better at describing that than I. But if you want to avoid probate, in other words, having the state and the judges and whatnot distribute your assets. Then you do a will, formally write it up, and have it witnessed and all that good stuff. And it's good to get a hold of a good tax attorney for that, especially if you have assets. Assets being, say, more than $1 million when you add up your house and savings and whatnot. So I highly recommend that you put together a will and or living revocable trust.
Rick, we're up against our break, and I hope that I know that advice is helping, and that's why Walt is here. So we have another hour yet to come with advice from Walt Caro, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And by the way, if you want to get in the queue for the next hour, give us a call. 406-721-1290 is our number. Thanks so much for joining us here on Talk Back statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Be right back.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning once again, everyone. 1 hour down and 1 hour to go on TalkBack on this Wednesday, August 5th. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen is producing TalkBack, taking your phone calls this morning. And our resident CPA, Walt Caro, joining us here in the studio this morning. Before we get to the call, I know you wanted to visit with Rick a little bit.
I wanted to do one more thing in answer to Rick's question. And it wasn't directly involved with his question, but it's important. Because about 20 years ago, about that, my sister in Billings, who was a realtor at the time, she's retired now, called me and asked me a question about what she should tell her friend. She had a real good friend. The real good friend was going to gift the daughter money to buy the down on a house. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, and just like I explained to Rick, same rigmarole. But because about half of all marriages end up in divorce, I told my sister Judy, I said, Judy, tell your friend to structure the gift as a promissory note between her friend and the daughter. And the reason for the promissory note is you just issue the note without interest or a nominal amount of interest. I wouldn't charge any interest because it's a gift.
Right.
But you issue it as a promissory note. And the reason is, let's say the marriage fails and fails really fast.
Right.
Well, the new spouse automatically gets some kind of value in the house because of the marriage.
Right.
And so all of a sudden you've transferred money from not just you to your daughter, but from you to your daughter and the new ex.
Yeah.
And so that's what I told my sister. I don't know if she did that with her friend, but yeah, that's a good thing. I'll follow up with my sister on what happened there.
You bet. We have time to get let this call in from Jeff. He's been waiting through the break. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gents. I just found this article on leading Koster from the early 1900s. And this is before the Pure Food and Drug Act. And now I know why our grandparents were able to walk to school barefoot in the snow uphill both ways.
Uh-huh.
It had to start off. It was 10% alcohol. So it was 20 proof. And then each fluid ounce had 1 to 2 grams of cannabis, 2 grams of chloroform, and between 1 and 4 grams of morphine.
Holy smokes. That's a cocktail and a half.
Yeah, and it came in pints. So, it was it's really interesting what folks were taking for colds and coughs before the Pure Food and Drug. I just found that very interesting.
Is that where snake oil came from?
No, I think snake oil is just folks who make stuff that doesn't do anything. You're gonna feel pretty good if you've got morphine, cannabis,
People volunteering to get sick. Yeah, thank you very much. I'll get sick just for the treatment, please.
Yeah, you know how many taxes would have been involved on all that stuff, on the alcohol and the and the hemp and all that other stuff? Oh, good Lord. Even back then, they had those taxes.
Yeah, I remember when I first came in, the military would dispense something called GI gin, cough syrup. We called it GI gin because you'd have a cough and you'd go down to the dispensary and get a bottle of cough syrup, and it was like 20% alcohol or something, 15. I don't remember the details, but GI gin was a thing.
You bet. Jeff, we are up against a break, my friend. So we're going to come right back. And when we have Al waiting on the line, and all of our other phone lines are open. If you have a tax question for Walt Kiro, give us a call.
And Jeff, quickly, I'm going to give you an Irma update after we get back.
We'll be back.
Dennis Bragg updating your weather. Patchy smoke again Wednesday, lifting through the afternoon with highs in the upper 80s. Not quite as cold going into Thursday morning, although most locations will still be down into the 40s. Thursday starts with smoke, but sun hitting a little harder with highs back in the 90s. And then for Friday through Sunday, highs in the mid to upper 90s with smoke expected to clear. A passing cold front could bring some winds and cooling for the weekend, but for right now at least, looks like it'll be sunny and hot right through the weekend.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Talk Back. I am Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, producing Talk Back, taking your phone calls. Walt Kiro is our guest here in the studio, our resident CPA. And I believe Jeff is back with us. So, Jeff, you have a question for Walt.
Yeah, actually, I have two questions. I had something of substance rather than just nonsense. You said, Walt, that you do your taxes, your withholdings out of your RMD. Is there a tax advantage to doing that?
Well, there's a logistical advantage, and the logistical advantage is instead of making a checkout in April, June, September, and January for my estimates, when I do the withholding, the IRS and the tax law considers that as your payment being prorated throughout the year. So if you have withholding in December, it's treated as if it was made throughout the whole year. And it comes right off the total tax liability. And so any penalty or any kind of bad thing that could happen from any tax due is diminished. And so to me, you're always going to owe the tax. The question is when do you pay them, now or later? And I just choose to use withholding instead of making checks out. Because as I mentioned before, my toughest client was my mom, and she had to make estimates, and boy, did I pay dearly for that.
Okay. So if one person is of a certain age, certain vintage, as you said earlier, and lives on pensions and Social Security, does it still make sense to do all your withholding from your RMD?
Well, I have interest and dividends and self-employment income, and that's where instead of making estimates for those that type of income, I just use my retirement withholding, my RMD. So it's a trade-off.
Okay, so it doesn't hurt anything to do it, and there might be some advantages to it. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll have to look into that further. Thanks.
Yeah, and again, if you don't, people hate, most people, I don't know many people that are happy when they have to go make estimated tax payment checks. And I'm looking at one of those right now. But that being said, to update you on Irma, my wife had some significant income in 2023 and 2024. And it was a one-time type income event based upon some facts and circumstances I don't need to go into. But I recently filed the Irma adjustment form, Social Security SSA-44, and they've approved that for her. But then I asked Social Security, well, aren't you going to adjust my IRMA as well? And they said, no, you got to file your own form. So there's the update. So if you have, if you're a married couple and you have a lifetime event where you can adjust your IRMA cost down by filing that form, you know, you need to do it on both sides. So that's my update, okay. Jeff.
Okay. And my second question is, I just looked at America's fastest aging states, and the largest is Alaska. Next is Idaho. Montana comes in at 42%. Alaska is 56, and Idaho is 51. So the fact that Montana is getting older faster.
Yeah.
And so are there any sort of tax things that you would, I guess, focusing on those of us of a certain vintage?
Yeah, well, one of the things that, that people could do, and I've looked at this too, is converting my IRAs to a Roth. But that has a tax consequence to it right now. And so the question is it worth, is it worthwhile to file, you know, to convert your IRA to a Roth? And if you're elderly, and you don't need that retirement income because you have other sources of income. The good thing about that is once you have money in a Roth, you don't have to do required minimum distributions. So that's the advantage to that. The only downside is you're going to pay the tax on that IRA or that retirement income right now when you do the conversion. So some people spread that out over years. That's possible, too, so you don't get bumped up into higher tax brackets and higher IRMA, right?
Yep. And if you do a conversion, that brings up a good point. I didn't mean to know this question, but if you do a conversion, does that come off of your RMD, or does you, you still have to do the RMD?
Well, it would work into the RMD because it's it would be a distribution during the year, and so whether it's RMD or not, it's coming out, and it would work towards that that amount you need to take out on a minimum basis. And to all the people out in radio land, Jeff knows this, but IRMA is Income Related Monthly Adjustment Amount. Now, if that isn't a mouthful, I don't know what isn't.
Yeah, and it's causing your Medicare to go up dramatically. I'll say mine went up from like 107 to 900 or 300 and some to 900 and some.
Yeah, I think between my wife and myself for 2 years, for 2025 and 2026, our Medicare cost for both Medicare Part B as in boy and D as in David is going to go down about $12,000. So
yeah,
it's significant.
It's huge. Yeah, but that's a good point you made about you're going to pay the tax on the distribution. So go ahead, and as long as it doesn't increase your IRMA, figure out what that amount is, and then go ahead and make the RMD conversion into a Roth.
Yeah.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that point, so thanks.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the call. We're about a minute away from a break, so when we come back, well, the phone lines are lighting up, and we appreciate that. Walt Kiro is here with us. He's our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and with well over 50 years of experience in putting people's taxes together and helping out folks, we appreciate him being with us on a regular basis here on TalkBack, providing free, wonderful tax advice from his many years of experience. So when we come back, Greg from Great Falls is standing by. We also have Al and Jeannie, all waiting to visit with Walt Kiro. So, and there's still a couple of phone lines open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, Walt Kiro with Elevated Tax and Accounting, and he's our resident CPA. We appreciate him sharing his wealth of expertise on taxes. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout and get your phone calls and your questions right after this.
Montana. Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Fire crews taking advantage of the cooler, smoky weather of the past few days to try to get a handle on some of the fires. That includes the Big Skillet Fire, which is still burning about 2,600 acres west of Olney in Flathead County. On the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest, fire teams are continuing to fight the Bobcat Lakes and Sand Creek fires, which are burning in the West Pioneers above the Big Hole. The Bobcat Lakes fire is now mapped at nearly 2,000 acres and showing moderate fire behavior above Jerked Prairie, where they're also doing some structure protection. Firefighters also working to tie in a fuel brake line along Lacey Creek Road with Pettingale Road. To the south, the Sand Creek fire has burned 1,000 acres, but fire growth has been slowed by the cool, smoky mornings. The Pioneer Mountain Scenic Byway remains open to all traffic, but authorities are asking people to slow down and watch for slower-moving fire trucks. Some developed and dispersed campsites in the area have also been closed. The Moose Fire west of Phillipsburg remained at just over 600 acres yesterday. Fire teams have nearly completed containment on the 1,200-acre Elder One Fire west of Missoula. There's no containment on the Ant Park Fire, which is burning northeast of White Sulphur Springs. The fire remained under 400 acres at last word, and fire crews were working on their lines and to extinguish spot fires. Crews report they now have 20% containment on the Griffin Fire, which has scorched over 700 acres in the Powder River County. Efforts have included protection for a dozen structures in that area. It remains to be seen how well the plan will work, but Missoula County commissioners appear ready to adopt a resolution providing at least some management measures for controlling that feral horse herd on the southern edge of Missoula. The Miller Creek horses have been a source of heated debate for the past few months as they started to wander amongst the rapidly developing subdivision. Commissioners pitched a resolution earlier this summer, and they are now poised to approve that. A public hearing set to continue on Thursday at 2 p.m., Commissioners have come up with a plan that includes several management steps for that horse herd and to keep people safe. This is the Montana State News Network.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hi, I'm Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Seger, encouraging you to stay safe on the road this summer. More fatalities occur on the road from Memorial Day to Labor Day. To ensure Montanans and our visitors get to and from their destination safely this summer, Montana Highway Patrol troopers will be increasing patrols. You can help. Never get behind the wheel intoxicated, follow the speed limit, and always buckle up. Together we can save lives. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls. Walt Kiro is joining us here in the studio this morning, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And Greg has been waiting through the break from Great Falls. Greg, go ahead, please.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. See, I just got a little information on wills, things like that. But this was what I set up for myself was a transfer on death deed.
Sure.
For my home and property. As I understand it, there's no tax if the home is sold within 6 months. And if it's sold later, then you just pay the tax on the growth cost basis, and that's your capital gains.
Yeah.
And that would... I guess the cost basis would start at 6 months after the possession's assumed, but also with my bank accounts, I got three bank accounts, but I got a checking, savings, and a money market, and all those are going to the beneficiary.
Yeah,
and also I just have an account that's set up with through Charles Schwab. You know, it's just a cheap one.
Yeah.
But I have no other, you know, life insurance or anything like that. But just to cover myself, I also wrote up the will holographic.
Yeah.
And I drew it up and had it notarized. So that's but the transfer on death deed, I also got that recorded with the county. So
yeah.
As I understand it, whoever the beneficiary is, you know, who I'm saying is beneficiary in death deed, all they got to do is plant me once I die.
Yeah.
And
hopefully put some water down.
Yeah, that's it, you know, but plant a flower maybe. But yeah. Also, all that individual has to do is take the death certificate down to the county, and they'll just go ahead and transfer the home title to the beneficiary, to the person that's getting it, and do the same thing with the banks and the Charles Schwab, but there's no reason for any probate in this case, and no lawyers involved or anything.
I think you're right. I can't say for sure, Greg, but one of the things you talk about, a transfer on death deed on the house.
Right.
I am aware of something similar, and it's called a beneficiary deed. And if that's what you're talking about here, well, then I'll just say good job. And the key to that is when you die, the beneficiary gets to walk into the market value at the date of death of that house, and that becomes their tax basis. So at the date of death, if it's worth $500,000, and, you know, you need to get a CMA or an appraisal on the house, or at least your beneficiary will. And once they get that, that becomes their tax basis. And if your beneficiary sells it 6 months later, then they could, their only capital gain will be on the growth from the date of death until the date of sale. And, you know, that's exactly what you want to have happen.
Right, that's correct. And the capital gains, as I understand, is taxed at 15%.
Max. Well, I won't say max, but for most people, it's 15%. Montana's about 4. Now, one other thing to consider is that that party is, if they sell the house, they're going to have selling costs and all that stuff, and that's deductible from the capital gain, too. So,
sure.
Anyway. That's, you know, I think you've set yourself up pretty well here. I can speak to that from a tax standpoint, not a legal. But anyway,
right.
Anyway, it sounds good.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, Greg, and good luck out there.
You bet. Let's try to get one more call in before the break. Al is up next. Al, go ahead, please.
Hi, Al.
You're not going to believe this, but the previous caller asked the same question I'm going to ask, so it'd be real simple on a transfer on death deed.
Yeah.
In certain instances, if you don't have a bunch of kids that might be squabbling over what they're going to get when you pass away, it's my understanding a trust might be fairly expensive to set up. In my case, 80 years old, no wife, kids, and two nieces are going to get everything, got a will. I think a transfer on death deed is a way to go. It looks like to me that the Montana legislature in 2019 changed this from whatever it used to be called, beneficiary deed, to what's called a transfer on death deed. Get the form notarized, take it down to the county courthouse for $16 or $19 with whoever you want to get your house, and it avoids probate. To me, I don't know nothing about probate, but I think that's a big deal if you avoid probate. So
yeah.
you might suggest people look into this transfer on death deed if you don't have a mm-hmm. bunch of people that are waiting for you to pass away. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks
okay.
for the call.
Okay, Al. Yeah. For some reason, I got it in my head about a beneficiary deed, and I could be wrong, but the last one I saw used the term beneficiary that was recorded.
Yeah, that was changed according to the instructions here in 2019 by the legislature to this new form.
Oh, yeah. And I think that was the same time they changed how much an estate trustee or PR could charge.
Thank you for the call. We're going to come right back. We have another half an hour with Walt Kiro. 406-721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Coming right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
You've been diagnosed with COPD, but breathing is getting harder. Everyday activities take more effort, and life feels smaller. Is this you? If your COPD is getting worse, there are options to help you breathe easier. Learn more at isthisyoucopd.org.
On the Wednesday edition of Talk Back in the final half hour. And our resident CPA, Walt Kira, right here in our studio with us, giving tax advice, some elevated tax and accounting. And Jeannie is waiting on the line. Jean, good morning.
Hi, Jeannie. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not sure if Walt will say this is his or not. This is more about property taxes, you know, for the homestead exemption.
Yeah.
And I filed. I'm fine on my house, but I live in a trailer court. Uh-huh. And I know that the owner owns three different trailer courts. And I asked him if he had filed for the homestead exemption. And he said, no, he didn't qualify. Okay, it's a month by month. Like, we don't sign a year lease or something. And so does he consider that he doesn't qualify because he doesn't think he's a long-term rental? I've been here 16 years. You know, I say it's a long-term rental.
Okay. Well, the confusing thing in Montana is there's two homestead exemptions. One is, I think it's 50,000, or I can't even remember the number changes or has changed, for homestead exemption against creditors. That's one homestead exemption. But I think the one you're talking about has to do with property taxes.
Right.
Yeah, and that has to do with qualifications for a personal residence. In other words, that's where you personally live. And so the landlord, he could have a unit in the trailer court where he lives, and that could qualify for homestead exemption. But all of the trailer courts, if he's got three of them, only the one he's living in would qualify. Does that make sense?
No, because he's renting the others as long-term rentals, and people with long-term rentals are supposed to qualify to give us a break. In other words, his taxes are going up, and he charges us on the taxes. So our rent's going up.
Yeah.
And my understanding was that he got a homestead exemption on the land if the person was a long-term rental.
Yeah. He gets the property tax break if it's long-term rental. And then the state has specific definitions of long-term rentals. You're right. He should be able to qualify for that, unless it's month-to-month.
Right. So, like, there's 24 of us in here, and so we're all going to be paying the income tax or the property tax increase that he's going to get in October.
Yeah.
And he said he doesn't qualify. Does it matter that he's an LLC?
No, I don't think so, because the ownership doesn't matter. It's the purpose to which the property's used. And long-term rentals, to me, was like more than a year, I think, for that purpose.
Right.
And so, you know.
Right. Yeah, I've been here 16 years.
No, but that's a good point. That's a good point. If you're ready for a short story, I was working in Florida. I was helping our tax software provider. And twice a year, I'd fly to Sarasota, Florida. And I got there and I got a cab. And the cab driver was talking about taxes. And he said, well, this Florida's great because it doesn't have an income tax. And I said, yeah, are you renting? Are you paying rent? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, the landlord pays property tax in Florida, and that cost gets passed to you. So you are exactly right. And if you can get him to get the idea that he should at least look into getting that homestead exemption, that would take pressure off of you and your rent cost increase, right?
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, so when I asked him, he just sloughed me off and said, I don't qualify. You know, and I was like, yeah, you do. But yeah. I didn't know how to word my argument to make him see, you know, that we qualify. Us renting this from him, you know, it's really frustrating. I own my house outright, and yet I'm paying $750 a month for this piece of property it sits on. Mm-hmm. And I know the rent's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So frustrating. Yes. Okay, I'll try to talk to him, see if I can convince him of what's right.
I'll comment after the break on that.
Good luck to you. I grew up on trailer court, so I know exactly what you're talking about. My mom struggled with that just like you are. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Also, Gordon is waiting, and all the other phone lines are open, by the way. If you have a question or a comment for our resident CPA, Walt Caro is very generously donating his time to answer tax questions on a regular basis here on Talk Back, and we deeply appreciate that. Just get on the phone right now. We got another 20 minutes or so of our time together with Walt at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk Back statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
If you're looking for
severe flooding, leaves cars unsafe to drive, and some vehicles end up for sale with no indication they were in a flood, use NICB's free online VIN check service to help ensure a car is in its promised condition. To report fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hey, Walt Caro is our special guest, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Walt, you had some more comments before we take the next caller.
Well, yeah, it had to do with Jeannie and her lobbying her landlord.
Right.
To, you know, the key thing is I think if I was in her shoes, I would say, dear landlord, have you checked out whether or not your property here qualifies for the reduced property taxes under the long-term rental exemption?
You could be a hero.
and say, well, God, you know, I think you should at least look into it. Do you have somebody who helps you with your taxes or somebody who helps you with your running your business? I would say check it out. And one other thing, at the same time, I would have the definition of what long-term rental is and see if they can't get there. So that one, ask him to say check it out, and two, give him some ammunition with which to check it out.
You bet. All right, then. Thank you. Thank you so much for that call. And I believe we have Gordon. Nick's on the phone answering a call right now. And when he gets that person on hold, we will go to Gordon, who has been waiting. Gordon, good morning. You are on Talk Back, sir, with Walt Caro.
Hi, Gordon.
Good morning. Just a point of clarification. You're talking about in an estate where a house would be specifically designated to a beneficiary, and they would get a step-up in basis for purpose of sale. Now, my question is, if the estate sold the house, would the estate not get to step up in basis?
Yes, it does. Yeah, because the rule is, Gordon, and you obviously picked up on it, is that the fair market value at the date of death becomes the cost basis to whoever owns the property after death, whether it's his estate or the beneficiary on the deed. The big thing with the transfer on death deed is that you're avoiding probate, so you don't have to run it through the court system. But anyway, the chances of having to do probate go up if you have the estate being the owner of the property.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for the question, Gordon.
You bet. All right, we appreciate that. And so the phone lines are clear. If you have a question or a comment for Walt Kira, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting, we still have about 15 minutes left in our time together, but you have your stack of stuff that you haven't touched too much since we started.
Well, whenever this comes up, I keep thinking of Ed because he spends part of his life in Port Angeles, Washington.
Right.
Which is a beautiful spot, you know. It's if you haven't been there, it's a nice area. It's right on the corner of Washington and Puget, the Pacific Ocean.
Wonderful.
Anyway, that being said, in the past year or two, the state of Washington has seen fit to install an income tax on capital gains. And then just here in the past year, the governor signed a millionaire's tax. And so, for 1 year in my life, I lived in the state of Washington. So I've always kind of watched it. And my year in Washington was my first year out of college and my first year of preparing taxes. And boy, this is a long time ago, way, way, way back, 1973. But, the thing is starting to ask, I'm getting bugged about why is the state wanting to put in all these new taxes? And so there's only one thing that drives all these new taxes is they're spending more. Okay, what are they spending more on? And so then I dug a little deeper, come to find out that there are, hang on to your hat, in 2023, the estimate was there are 375,000 illegal aliens in the state of Washington.
Wow.
Then you couple that with the fact that according to Census Bureau data, there's a think tank that looked at this, came up with 61% of illegal immigrant households, 61% are getting some form of public benefit. So if you couple that information together, and let's say we can argue about the numbers, it doesn't matter. But if there are that many people sucking off the system, you got to raise taxes. And so who's raising the taxes? Well, the state. And it just kind of, whoa, wait a second. But it only makes economic sense, and that would be a good question for Pat Barkey, is does the influx of illegal immigrants in the country have an effect on inflation for both housing, rents, and everything else? So it's kind of interesting in Washington that the millionaire's tax is now subject to a vote in November because some people got fired up about that,
right,
and sent out petitions and got enough signatures, so it'll be on the ballot. So this will be something interesting to watch.
Wow. All right. That's where my daughter and son-in-law and little Jakey live, right there in the shoreline, just to,
yeah,
by Seattle. All right, let's get Becky on the line. Becky, good morning.
Hi, Becky.
Good morning. Hello. So I'm calling about the homestead claims that you were talking about earlier. So are you saying that if you have, say, you know, 10 rental properties on a piece of property and you live there, you can get a deduction on your property taxes for the whole place if you have long-term rentals?
Oh, okay. The thing is that long-term rentals are going to be treated the same as your personal residence as far as being taxed at. In other words, but the tax rates by which they multiply your fair market, their assessed value. And so in order to qualify the rental property for that reduced property tax bill is it has to be, it can't be short-term rental. It's got to be long-term. And they define long-term as more than 12 months. And the reason they don't want to exempt short-term rentals is because of Airbnbs and all that stuff. So anyway, but if you live on a piece of property and you have 12, 10, whatever, 100 other rentals on there, if it meets the long-term rental, then you should qualify for the reduced property tax rate.
All right, we're coming up against a break. We're going to come right back. Walt Carroll joining us this morning, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. We're going to wrap things up in our final segment when we come back right after this, 406-721-1290. In our final segment on Talkback with our resident CPA, Walt Kira, with Elevated Tax and Accounting. And folks are still waiting on the phone. Greg has been waiting. Greg, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Hey, Greg.
I'd like to go back to the previous callers on the transfer of deed on death.
Yeah.
Would that be more beneficial than, say, having a trust if you have say multiple heirs? Does it get messy?
the whole thing is it depends upon your goal. And again, I'm talking from a tax standpoint here because I'm ice skating on the edge here of legalities. But the thing is most people, the goal of estate planning is they want to treat their beneficiaries not necessarily equally, but equitably. And one of the ways to get there is, you know, you just say, hey, I want each person to get so much. How your personal representative or trustee gets there shouldn't bother you. But, you know, if one of the beneficiaries is interested in the house, well, let them have it. But the other beneficiaries get their fair share from other assets, whether it's a life insurance policy or whatever it happened to be. Does that make sense? Greg?
Yeah, because my sister and I have property in Polson, which was in a trust. My father had it in a trust, and so then we got it.
Yeah,
and so now I have three children, and she has one, and so it's like, and there's no we have no plans of selling the property at all.
Yeah.
And I know that there's at least one child, maybe two, that would have interest in staying at the property whenever we're gone. So, we want to treat everybody fairly.
Right. I think in your particular case where you got generations going on, it's much safer to have it in a trust than with a transfer on death deed, because you can have directions in your trust similar to what would be in a will to take care of that. Let me give you a little horror story. The horror story was I had a client, and they had a cabin in the name of the family, but it was just in individual names. Well, along comes a neighbor. And a neighbor picks off one of the grandkids and says, hey, I'll buy your interest in the property, because it was an undivided joint interest property that, you know, it was just, it had like 10, 12 names on the deed. Well, the kid, without knowing what was going on, sure, I'll take the money because I'm not using the property. Well, guess what? The neighbor that bought the undivided interest in the property from the kid decided to put in a road and get an easement for it. and there was nothing the other people could do. So what they did is they immediately formed an LLC, and inside that LLC, they put all the remainder property. But the damage was done by that time. And so you don't want that to happen to your property, and you've already kind of made that you've got a shelter on that by having the property in the name of the trust. So, you know, it's much better in the trust, because then you won't be susceptible to this horror story I just described.
Yeah, we have an aunt that lives on adjoining property that was her in-laws and my grandfather's and grandmother's. Wow. And there's an easement through her property. And they're having a hemorrhage, or her kids are having a fit over that right now, that we have access to basically drive through their property to get to ours. And so that's another huge mess.
Oh, God, yes, yes, yeah.
But that property, when she passes away, that property is going to be going up for sale. So I don't know, maybe we might look into buying it from them.
Oh, yeah.
And avoid other issues, but...
Yeah, that's always a tough one. Those roads and easements and all that stuff, it just creates all kinds of ill feeling.
Well, and it's a lifetime easement, too. As long as they're surviving children, they have access.
Yeah, yep. Well, that's the way it is.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much
well,
for the call.
Good luck, Greg.
Well, we got about a minute, so let's get some contact information for you or about what's going on.
Quickly. Holy cripes.
Yeah.
1 minute warning, not
right.
A 2 minute warning.
There you go.
Sorry for all the football stuff, but you can reach me at Elevated Tax and Accounting. Our office is downtown at 101 East Front in the First Interstate Bank Building, second deck, and anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Always a pleasure, Walt. Thank you, sir.
Hey,
and
thank you.
Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Thursday's show, sir?
Russell Nemitz will join us. He's an award-winning NAFB farm broadcaster and takes great pride in being one of agriculture's biggest advocates. We'll talk to him about a whole bunch of stuff.
All right. And again, a big thank you to our friend Walt Kerr, our resident CPA. And thanks for all of you guys for your questions, because your questions spark other questions. And chances are one of the answers that Walt gives might help you in your circumstance. So that's why Walt is here a couple times a month to share his over 50 years of experience. So thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning bright and early for another edition of Talk Back.